May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
Thank you. us to read the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel, chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon margin from above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon from above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead for thy mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. In thy mercy thou spared the lives of these poor sinners, this poor sinner, to come into thy house once more grant us thankful heart. Leave us not to let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But Lord, we are greatly in need of thy help. Thou knowest better than we. Thou knowest where there are those of us that feel it. No help in self we find. No, for there is none there. The native treasure of our mind is sin and death and hell. We pray then tonight, oh, do grant each one of us, if it could please thee, that spiritual energy that the hymn writer goes on to speak of. To Christ for help I fly. The refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Lord, speak to us, we beg. Oh, we ask that thou wouldst pardon our sins. We ask that thou wouldst assure us, Lord Jesus, that thou didst die for us. We pray to be clothed feelingly in thy righteousness. We pray to have thy love shed abroad in our heart. We pray to know thee. Oh, grant us Mary's portion tonight, to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his words. Oh, come down, Holy Spirit, we pray. Send thy blessed Spirit, Lord, in the name of thy Son. O Lord, we plead for Jesus' sake, on account of that finished work, Lord Jesus. Oh, 'twas when thou didst ascend into heaven that the Holy Spirit was so abundantly poured out. He had been given, Lord, to thy people 4,000 of years before that, but not in such a measure. Our Lord, and we plead that word tonight. Lord Jesus, thou hast ascended on high to that blessed place, to heaven, to sit with thy Father in his throne. Lord, thou hast led captivity captive. Oh, thou wast that infinite captive here on this earth, Lord, when thou didst suffer, bleed and die in the place of thy people. And when thy holy body did lay in that tomb, oh, we pray, Lord, oh, thou wast led captivity captive, that is, come forth, Lord. And after 40 days did ascend into heaven. Oh, we pray, send down those gifts. Yea, for the rebellious also. There is our only hope. Rebellious we have been and are rebellious still. But oh, may we know tonight, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. Oh, we pray for spiritual worship, the only true worship. We pray, Lord, that thou hast raised us above ourselves, above each other and above this earth. We confess, Lord, our earthbound state by nature, the carnality of our minds. We confess, Lord, the worldliness, the pride, the lust, the deceitfulness, the idolatry, the unbelief. Lord, the rebellion, the stiff-neckedness. We confess, Lord, the solemn lack of concern. We confess, Lord, the prayerlessness, indifference, the hardness. Lord, oh, forgive us, we pray. Lord, One precious drop of that precious blood would do it, Lord, if thou would supply it. Lord, we pray, grant that application tonight. Help this people to hear their prayers. Feed thy sheep and thy lambs tonight. Glorify thy name in this place. And be glorified in thy people, as Christ is formed in their heart, the hope of glory, and is made unto them wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Lord, touch the cases. Lord, thou only knowest them. Lord, the heart knows his own bitterness, but Lord, thou dost too. Nothing is hidden from thee. In all thy people's afflictions, thou wast afflicted. And Lord, our blessed truth, thy dear servant the apostle was inspired to write. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, help thy tempted, tried, buffeted people. Help thy Josephs, fruitful boughs planted by a well. The archers have shot at them and do shoot at them and grieve them and hated them. Cause their bow to abide in strength, Lord. May their hands be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. O Lord, come forth and gather us, thou blessed shepherd. O draw us to thy feet, Lord. Lead us into the green beside the still waters, and make us lie down in the green pastures. Restore our souls. Lord, oh, we do pray for restoration. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, we pray. Lord, overcome the distance our sins have made between us and thee. Overcome, Lord, the distance our backslidings have put us at. Lord, oh, we do pray. Restore unto us the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, thy great army. Oh, turn us again, O Lord, cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. Oh, revive us, Lord. Oh, grant once more that you may rest all night upon our branch, and the candle of the Lord shine round about us. Oh, lift upon us the light of thy countenance, we do pray. Lord, oh, draw us. Lord, oh, we pray for grace to heed thy exhortations in thy word to return. Lord, ah, may I come. Lord, we pray for that divine answer. Not only you may come, Lord, thy powerful bringing, thy drawing, draw me, and we will run after thee. Lord, help us then. Lord, bless this people then. Do them each good. Build them up, establish, strengthen and settle them. Feed them, Lord, with food convenient for them. Break the bread of life to their souls. Favour them with the saving knowledge of Christ. Those that know thee not, to begin to know thee, and those that know thee, to know thee more. Lord, we pray for the answer to long-awaited prayers. The answers that have been waited for so long. Lord, we pray for those even tonight if it could please thee. Oh, to this end do grant thee pouring in, Lord, from thyself to this poor earthen vessel. Lord, I am nothing. Lord, let us know how to make us feel that. Lord, oh, but Lord, as the hymn writer put it, may I be something and yet nothing. Ah, Lord, one of those precious somebodies. Somebody hath touched me. Oh, Lord, those favoured people of thine, whom we've read tonight from thy word, help us then and be with us. Oh, do grant the opening of a door of utterance and the opening of a door of hearing. May we lose sight of each other and see no man save Jesus only. Help the deacons here, Lord. Bless their labours. Our friend at the desk and his brother. O Lord, do grant them thy help in this office. Bless their labours, hear their prayers. And the prayers, Lord, of thy people here, church and congregation. O Lord, we pray. Oh, yet grant those blessed answers. Lord, oh, help us to pray without ceasing. Lord, oh, if we've been wrong in our askings, do forgive us and put us right in our askings. Oh, that we might be directed by thee and helped by thee. Thy hands upon us, Lord. That our bow shall abide in strength and those arrows shot heavenwards. The prayers according to thy will and in the name of thy Son shall not be without avail. Lord, grant, we beseech thee, those answers of peace. Grant, Lord, more than thy people ask of even things. Lord, make it so clear. That is what we need. Lord, when we are in real trouble, and therefore we really have to pray, as enabled. Lord, nothing less than clear things would do. Lord, for nothing less than a clear thing can save. Nothing else less than a clear thing can do it. Nothing less than a miracle will do, Lord. Nothing less than thy divine, almighty, merciful and gracious power put forth. Lord, we ask for it. Then the Ethiopian shall change his skin, and the leopard his spots, and I shall sin abhor. Lord, we pray. Bring us safe through. Lord, our time is short. Lord, we pray to be prepared by thee. We know that all thy people will be ready. Then they that were ready went in with thee, Lord Jesus, to the marriage. Oh, may we be among them. Lord, thou least of all. Then loudest of the crowd I'll sing, for heaven's resounding mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Oh, may we be there. May we be among those blessed songsters. Lord, singing worthy the Lamb forever and ever. Lord, oh, we plead for this. Here we have no continuing city. Weary of earth, myself and sin. Dear Lord, take me in. To thy presence let me come. For there I long to be. But Lord, we fall into thy hands as to the timing. Lord, we shall not be ready to die. till that appointed time of thine for us to die. Lord, we pray then, while on earth our days are lengthened, give us grace to give them to thee. Oh, we pray for help. Lord, oh, direct us, uphold us and keep us. And Lord, let thy work appear. Lord, let down a little bit of heaven, Lord, to this earth. In the sending of thy Son, by the power of thy Spirit. Lord, oh, we pray for it. For Lord, this is a dim spot. We are poor wretches. But Lord Jesus, that has once come to this dim spot. Our Lord, and thou didst go to a darker place than any of thy people have ever been. For here on this earth, Lord Jesus, in thy sufferings on that cross, thou didst endure hell. On this earth, Lord, come now. Come, Lord Jesus, again, with the power of thy Spirit. Visit our hearts as the Saviour, the Redeemer, the Physician, the Shepherd, the King, the Prophet, all. Bless the young. Bless thy word to them. Lord, call them by thy grace. Those whom thou hast called, lead them on. Lord, bless thy seekers. Grant them something tonight, a handful of purpose. Oh, Lord, help parents. Help fathers to read the word, to pray with their wives and families. Lord, bless, we pray, the family altar. Lord, help mothers and fathers to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help us to pray. Bless afflicted ones, be with them, heal them if it could please thee. Sanctify the affliction, take away the curse, make their bed in their sickness. Help thy dying people who accept Jesus, shine within. O Lord Jesus, shine. For Lord, when thou dost shine, the monster death, when viewed in thee, has lost all his power. Lord, grant thy dying people this blessing. Forgive all we ask amiss, we plead, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. 739.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the 12th chapter, the book of the prophet Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. And we'll read verse 8 and verse 13. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What a greatly blessed man Daniel was. Through that great blessing, he was a very remarkable man. He's one of those few men in the scriptures of whom the Holy Spirit records no particular falls, none at all. That is not, of course, because he had none. He was a sinner. No glory belongs to Daniel for this. But what it does show is the wonderful measure of grace that was given him, that so preserved him. It wasn't that he walked a path where there was less temptation than other men. He walked a path that clearly was strewn with temptations. He was among those captives in that heathen land. And but for the grace of God, you see how we fall. As that children's hymn, isn't there? Lord, keep me when I meet with those who do not fear thy name. Well, how Daniel was wonderfully kept. We think of that time when the decree was, Daniel knew that the decree was written, it was sealed, that any man or woman that prayed any prayer of anyone other than Darius will be cast into the den of lions. And by the grace of God, he didn't fall in that temptation and pray secretly even. But by the grace of God, he went and opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed unto his God morning, noon, and night as he had done aforetime. But now we find in these latter chapters of this book, Daniel is set forth as an eminent praying man. His prayers brought down the Lord Jesus Christ to him. That is clear. He understood by books the number of the years whereby the Lord had said he would leave his people, hold his people in that captivity. And when he understood by those books that that time was drawing near, he fasted, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he pleaded with his God. He confessed his sins and the sins of the people. And we have that account that while he was confessing his sins, and while he was making supplication, the Lord came to him, touched him, and spoke to him, and gave to him that wonderful prophecy of the coming Messiah. And then going on from that, those wonderful prophecies concerning all those things that would happen. Many of them are not yet fulfilled. Many of them are. But some of them are not yet fulfilled. The book of Daniel, the prophecy of the book of Daniel goes right to the end of time. But what did the Lord say to Daniel when he came down to him? O man greatly beloved, do you covet that, sinner? Well, Daniel's case sets forth a way in which we may have it. If the Lord enable us to pray as Daniel prayed, if the Lord make us earnest in prayer as he made Daniel earnest in prayer. You know, the fasting in the Word of God, it sets forth that spiritual energy by which the Holy Spirit causes a sinner to be absolutely focused on obtaining the blessing. To the abstaining from eating food. Doesn't Job say, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food? Now, I am not in any way advocating fasting, though I know that, and the one example perhaps that comes to mind in our own country, Ruth Bryan practiced it. Another one who was greatly favoured of her God. Many of the Lord's people, the majority of the Lord's people, do not actually fast. But I believe all of them know what it is. By the Holy Spirit to so feel their lost and ruined condition and to be so miserable without Christ and to so long for him that their food is as nothing to them and everything else is as nothing to them. But you see, we can't create this ourselves. You are one who is greatly beloved of God if the Lord has done this for you. And you see, when he did it, he proved to us that it wasn't in vain what he had done. We did obtain what our soul longed for in the Lord's time and in the Lord's way. And Daniel did. But then in this last chapter, the prophecy is completed. And Daniel heard the words. But as he said here, I understood not. You see, these prophecies were given in language, oftentimes that was so mysterious. What does that set forth? It sets forth this, that the one who is speaking is God. And the person that is listening is man. Is it any wonder then the poor man doesn't understand? When God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And here is another confirmation of the truth that we find throughout all Scripture. That only by the Lord's own revealing can his own truth be known. We have this matter that appears in this chapter as it appears in other chapters in this book, times and time and a half and so on. And then, of course, the actual things which are prophesied are spoken in such languages. Only God really knows the interpretation of it. You know, down through the generations, godly men have made great mistakes about unfulfilled prophecy. But what do we see in Daniel's confession here? I understood not. We find honesty. And that is something that the Lord works in the hearts of all his people. I understood not. You know, by way of illustration, example, with regard to earthly things in which we refuse to admit that we do not understand. Perhaps there are those of you here that have been at school or somewhere else and something has been set before you, and perhaps the teacher or whoever it was said, "Now, do you all understand that? If any of you do not understand, please put your hand up." And we didn't understand, but we didn't put our hand up. Why not? Because we didn't want to be manifest as being ignorant. We didn't want to admit that we didn't understand. Now, what a foolish thing that was. What a foolish thing that was. Because why did that teacher say, "Do you understand?" Because the teacher's purpose was to teach us. And how shall we learn something if we are not brought to the confession of not knowing? And my dear friend, this is something which the Lord's people are proving, will prove all their life. Daniel's not a young man. The 70 years of the captivity are coming to an end. How old exactly he was at the beginning of those 70 years, we do not know, but I believe it's right to deduce from the account we read that he was certainly approaching something like 20 years of age. So now at the end, where Daniel is speaking here, he's a man of 90 years old. And he's saying, "I understood not." And we find the Apostle Paul toward the end of his pilgrimage saying, "I know nothing of myself." You see, why is that? Of course, there are things in the experience, in the hearts of the Lord's people, that they have learned, that they do know. That same man who said, "I know nothing of myself," he said, "I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed." Why is it they know nothing of themselves? That is, with regard to the experience of something or the understanding of something in their life's pathway now. It's not that they're ignorant of the way of salvation. It's not that they're ignorant of Christ. But they're ignorant of him unless the Spirit give them revelation of him and application of him now. What I mean is this. You may remember this evening the blessing of forgiveness. So in that sense, you know the blessing of forgiveness. But perhaps you've come in here this evening with guilt on your conscience, and the knowledge of your forgiveness doesn't forgive your sins now. We need a fresh application of that precious blood that was applied then to cleanse our soul from its sins. I understood not. Then said I, "O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" You see, it was the end that the prophecy led to. But it was given in such a way as So much is hidden, and that's how it is now. I believe if anyone were to come and try to preach to us tonight and tell us the exact prophecy, give us an exact account of what is going to happen exactly with regard to the coming of Christ, we should be very suspicious. These things are hidden unless the Lord especially reveal them. What shall be the end of these things? But I want to speak of this word also with regard to that which the Lord's people ask concerning many things in their life's pathway and in their soul's experience. Because, you see, the Lord's people know there is going to be an end of these things. Because the Lord has written it on their heart, the end of all things is at hand. And their soul wants to know what the end of these things is going to be. My dear friend, as the Lord brought you to ask, what shall be the end of these things? What shall be the end of my life? Your life will end. It must do. It must do because you're a sinner. It must do because God has said it will. You've got proof of it, haven't you? You've got proof of it all around you. You see other people coming to their end, some of them children, some of them young people, some of them in the what we call middle age, and some of them aged, but they all die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. What shall be the end of these things? Well, my dear friend, the end of your life will be one thing or another. It will either be, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, or it will be, depart ye cursed into everlasting burning, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, my dear friend, there couldn't be two more different ends, could there? To be in the presence of God Himself, the source of all good, the source of life. Oh, that wondrous one, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be favored, to be brought into His immediate presence forever and forever. No sin, no pain, no grief, no sorrow, nothing but love, the love of God overflowing everything. But then to be, or to be in that awful bottomless pit, prepared for the devil and his angels, to be in the company of devils forever and ever. The lake of fire, the bottomless pit, the place where there is not a drop of cold water, the place from which those lost souls can see heaven, but the gulf between hell and heaven is such, none can pass from one to the other. What shall the end of these things be? That's the first question then. Oh, and I believe that is that the Lord puts in the heart of each of His people, not only at the beginning of the work, but many, many times throughout their life. Sometimes, my dear friend, I believe in each case it is so at the beginning, or at least at the point where the Lord is bringing that sinner to the first favoured knowledge of forgiveness and pardon. Where do they, what do they think the end of these things is going to be? They think it is going to be as the man that Elihu preached to Job concerning thought it was. His soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. And that would have been the end of those things. It would have been the deserved end, because he was a sinner against God. It would have been the certain end, because he couldn't change his course. He couldn't deliver himself. And God is a just God who must punish sin. But it wasn't the end. He didn't have the end he was expecting. Why not? A messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand drew near, who made known unto man his uprightness and said, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. My dear friend, that's what sinners need. Seek, my dear friend, clear things. If you don't have clear things, either you're not a child of God at all, and therefore you'll perish in your sins, or your deathbed is going to be a very uncomfortable place. When God brings before you all that dallying that you have done over all your life, where you have played with your soul, where you have refused to come unto Almighty God in the way he has bidden you. I know, my dear friend, that only he can do it. But when we refuse, that's our sin. What should the end of these things be? I felt I must speak in this way concerning this end of these things. But you see, there, in that case that Elihu preached of, there is the way the Lord shows his people the end of these things. My mind goes to John 11, that well-known account of Lazarus' sickness and death and resurrection. What should the end of these things be? Is there a Mary or a Martha here tonight? And concerning your own case, or concerning one close to you, there is this deep sickness. He whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He declared unto them then what the end of those things was going to be. But you see, even there, just as it is in this case here, as I've said to you this evening, the Saviour's words could not be interpreted by men. Because what would man's interpretation of Jesus' words be? Lazarus isn't going to die. He's going to get better of his sickness. Because Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. When he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place. Is there one here tonight? And you've prayed. And it's not just 2 days the Lord Jesus has stayed in the same place. That is, it's not just 2 days and you've received no deliverance. He hasn't come in the power of his Spirit and healed you. And the case has got worse, as it was with Lazarus, till he died. I'm glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent you might believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face wrapped about with a napkin. Loose him and let him go. Now he reveals what the end of those things was. He told them of it, for the glory of God. That's then the first thing that we must say concerning the end of these things. What should the end of these things be? It will be for the glory of God. Now that will be so concerning everything that happens in the end. It'll be for the glory of God. It'll be for the glory of God when all his elect around his throne in heaven singing worthy of the Lamb. It'll be for the glory of God when those poor lost sinners cry out in their pangs and gnash their teeth in hell. It'll be for the glory of God. Oh, how necessary, my dear friend, to have it made clear by Almighty God as to how God is going to be glorified concerning us. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What shall be the end of these things? You see, there is good teaching here. When, and this is the Lord's purpose with his people, when he brings them, and I think of Psalm 107, they come to their wits' end. As the margin puts it from the original language, all their wisdom is swallowed up. Perhaps they thought they knew how the things were going to end. Perhaps they thought they knew how things were going to turn out, how things were going to proceed. They got it mapped out in their mind. Ah, sinner, concerning your soul, you had it mapped out, didn't you? Child of God. But has he done it in the way you mapped it out? I can answer the question myself. You don't need to answer it. I can tell you he hasn't done it in the way you mapped it out. Because he couldn't do it in the way you mapped it out. What was the way you mapped out? There wasn't much crucifixion of the flesh, was there? Ah, didn't you map out that you were going to get more and more knowledgeable, you're going to know more and more, and then you're going to come to the experience of the forgiveness of sins because you gradually grew in knowledge? But instead of that, he led you the opposite way. So you felt to know less and less. Another way you mapped out was, I'm going to work at this sin and that sin and the other sin, and gradually, one by one, I'm going to conquer them. I'm going to work at the matter of prayer. I'm going to work at the matter of repentance. I'm going to work at the matter of believing. If the Lord led you, he did it in that way, we read, I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they've not known. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Ah, then the sinner begins to ask, what shall the end of these things be? till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. My dear friend, the truth I'm trying to set before you this evening, oh, may the Holy Spirit take it and apply it in a better way than I'm speaking it. And it's this. We do need the Lord to show us, to make clear to us things. You see how easy it is to have a religion in which we think this and we think that, and we do this and we do that. But my dear friend, where is that religion going to end? Hell. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so it is with every deliverance in the pathway. Joseph had no idea when he told his parents and his brothers the dream that he'd had. He had no idea of how that dream was going to be fulfilled. God hid it from him. But there came a time in Joseph's life when he said to his brothers, and that's years after, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What shall the end of these things be? Ah, it will be for the good of his people. That is something that is certain. If we consider the final end of these things, if we consider what Daniel is really asking here, he's asking concerning the second coming of Christ. And my dear friend, on that day, God will fully and completely accomplish all the good that he has ever purposed to his church. There will be an entrance into that eternal good, the body and the soul in heaven with God, fit to spend an eternity of bliss and happiness and joy. Isn't that good? It'll be the good. The end of these things shall be for the good. Oh, my dear friend, are you walking this path led by the Lord in this way? Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Here we have no continuing city. But the end of these things is Daniel and all the Lord's people brought to that city. If I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What shall be the end of these things? Another truth that is clear in the scripture, oh, may the Lord grant us clearness of faith in believing that truth, that all these things are according to the Lord's purpose, and all these things must come to pass. You see, sometimes we look at the things in our life, and when we read a prophecy like this and speak of all the terrible things, the terrible men that the prophecy speaks shall arise, and the harm they will do in the world, and the raging against the Almighty that they will exercise themselves in, And the martyrdom of the Lord's people, or the oppression, the vexing of the Lord's people. And we look at these things as though it's a hindrance to the Lord. But it's not. It's not a hindrance to the Lord at all. You see, whatever in your soul's experience appears and you say concerning that thing, if only I didn't have this. But my dear friend, God has given you this. And he's made you to feel that, oh, that I didn't have this. That you might come to him for the overcoming of this, whatever this is, all those thises that you wish you didn't have. You see, the devil, he can only do what the Lord wills. We think especially of the book of Job when we consider the work of Satan. But remember who began that matter with Job. It was God that said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth." Now, in no way am I saying that God provokes Satan. No, God does not tempt any to evil. God simply set before Satan that eminent man, Job, God's servant. And that which Satan did in Job's case was all by the permission of God. And God put a chain on Satan. He couldn't go any further than God allowed him to. And that's how it is, child of God, in your life tonight. That foe can't boast of much that makes us watch and pray. Ah, where would Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah have been had not that great company come against them? Where would they have been if that company hadn't been so great? That they had no might against them, neither knew what to do. And sinner, if there was one thing missing from the ingredients that make up your cup tonight, whether that's in your own personal soul or interwoven with that, your family, the church, your business, if there was one thing missing, it wouldn't be complete. We know that all things work together for good. If there was one thing missing, it couldn't be said to be all things. What shall the end of these things be? We know then that all these things are ordered of God. What shall the end of these things be? Now this last verse. What wonderful words. We're not saying at all that these were the last words that God ever spoke to Daniel here on this earth. We don't know that. But they are the last words of this prophecy that the Holy Spirit inspired Daniel to write. So as regards our knowledge of Daniel here on this earth, as recorded by the scripture, this is the conclusion of it. And what a blessed conclusion. What a promise. But go thou thy way till the end be. Now, this sets forth that it's not only a word for Daniel, but for all the Lord's people. Because Daniel, the day when Daniel came to the end of all things, was thousands of years ago. He did not live to the time when the end of all things shall be. But he lived to the time when the end of all things here below suddenly came to pass. He came to the time when he breathed his last breath, his heart beat for the last time, and he yielded up his spirit to God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, as Stephen said. But go thou thy way till the end be. But you see, Daniel does have an interest in that day when the Lord will come the second time. Mercifully, the Lord has taken him away from the evil. And we are left here on this earth. Oh, my dear friend, is that how the Lord causes you to view your little life here below? Though there are many mercies, though there are many natural pleasures and joys which the Lord gives his people, yet because you're a sinner, and because sin separates you from God, because sin hardens your heart, because sin holds you in unbelief, because the devil taunts you, because the world allures you, and because there are many bitter sorrows in this wilderness, are you caused to consider your time here below as Jacob considered it at the end of his days? Few and evil of the days of my pilgrimage be. Though Daniel was taken away from the evil in mercy, his dust lies somewhere on this earth, and so he will have a part, a blessed part, in that day when the Lord comes. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, my dear friend, we cannot comprehend it, can we? But it's the shout of the Son of God. And he comes in all his glory. And the dead in Christ, Daniel among them, shall rise first. Go thou thy way. But look what he says. Go thou thy way. What does he mean by this? He means that Daniel was in the way to eternal life. He means that Daniel was in the way wherein no real harm could come to him. He means Daniel was in that way which was pleasing to God. God never tells a person to do something which is not pleasing to him. Daniel's way by grace was pleasing to God. You know, my dear friends, we do need, it's not just reading these accounts, it's not just preaching them, it's not just hearing sermons about these things, it's having these truths written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit, these eminent men of God. You know, the Word of God is very, very wonderful in the way in which the cases of the Lord's people, as those people came so low, they were such sinners, they did such dreadful things and yet were saved out of their sins. Now that is there so that when the Lord's people come into those similar places, they may not despair. But my dear friend, those cases like Jonah are not put there for the Lord's people to make such behavior their pattern. That is disobedience. nor the adultery and the murder of David, nor the dreadful adultery and idolatry of David's son Solomon. Go thou thy way. Of course, it wasn't Daniel's way by nature. He was led of the Spirit. What was it? It was a way of the fear of the Lord. You know, my dear friends, what safety there is in the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the fountain of life. That reverence, that awe, that tender childlike spirit concerning God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Go thou thy way. Is the way of faith. Daniel, by the grace of the Spirit, believed in his God. That's Daniel's way. Christ was Daniel's way. Go thou thy way. Ah, what a blessed thing that is. Concerning all our perplexities tonight, and concerning all the unknown way before us, what will happen? If we are found walking in Christ, my dear friend, whatever happens, we shall be safe. Oh, I believe from the word of God, my dear friend, that the times in which we live are not going to improve. That is, with regard to the outward things. The rulers of this world are the servants of Satan. And Satan knows that his time is short. And the prophecy speaks of the dreadful things, that man of sin that is yet to be revealed, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, and causes such grief and vexation and persecution to the Lord's people. But my dear friend, even when the man of sin is on this world, the sinner that is walking in Christ will be safe, even if that man of sin take that child of God's life, as Herod took John Baptist's life. Go thou thy way till the end be. Now, what was that way? Christ, in Daniel's case, entire dependence on him. I must mention just now concerning all these things. And I said if one thing was missing, it wouldn't all work together for good. Cannot some of you look back to a time in your life when the thing happened that you thought was going to utterly destroy you and end everything? But as Mr. Frank Gosden says in one of his sermons, he got home one night and the thing that he feared had come upon him. He thought it would crush him. He said, "It crushed me into the arms of the Lord." Dependence on the Lord. My dear friend, it behoves me to be honest to you. It behoves me to be faithful to you, and I pray to be made so. My dear friend, if you think you're in trouble, but it hasn't yet brought you to Christ, look out for more trouble. Or pray that the Lord might sanctify the trouble that is upon you to bring you to him. It's this dependence upon him, living upon nothing but Christ, That's what the Church of God will be enabled by the Spirit to do in those days of the great tribulation that is coming. And that is what the Holy Spirit enables sinners to do today in this tribulation that they are in this day. Oh, what fools we are to stay away from Christ. And yet we do. Go thou thy way. You see, what the Lord is saying to Daniel is, Daniel, there's some going to do yet. And that is true of all the Lord's people. What does Peter say? To whom coming? Go thou thy way is coming. Coming to Christ. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men. But chosen of God and precious. Go thou thy way. Confession of sin. Go thou thy way. Falling flat before the Lord. Go thou thy way. Entreating heaven. Go thou thy way. Why? Because the Lord will come, Daniel. And speak to you as he has aforetime, again and again. You'll get this comfort, Daniel, from me, says the Almighty, again and again and again. In your hour of need, in your moment of need, come unto me and I will help you again, Daniel. Go thou thy way till the end be. Because then you'll know what the end of these things will be. Ah, hereafter he will make us know, and we shall surely find he was too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind. That wonder of wonders. After all his fears, after all his misgivings, the sinner proves God is faithful. For thou shalt rest. For thou shalt rest. The way then is a way of labour. Paul says, let us labour therefore to enter into his rest. What is the labour? Going in this way the Lord spoke after Daniel, for thou shalt rest. Knowing the rest of faith in the going in the way. You see, this is to be known again and again. When is rest so precious after labour? The man goes forth in the morning, works through the day. He returns home in the evening. He rests in his chair. He lays down on his bed. The rest of a laboring man is sweet. For thou shalt rest. What a promise. But only Daniel. As thou dost go in thy way. Sinner, let me ask you as I come to a close this evening, I ask myself the same question. Does the Spirit lead us in that way to bring us to rest? That is, lead us to Christ, confessing our sin, pleading his mercy, begging for him to speak. Oh, what a rest that is when Jesus speaks to tell us we're his and he is ours. To apply his blood. What a rest that is when all our sins are put away. To assure us of our interest in him. What a rest that is. for thou shalt rest. But of course, the Lord is promising Daniel eternal rest. You see, it's only to these people that go in this way. We read yesterday evening at Barton that 49th chapter of Genesis, when Jacob was on his deathbed, and we read at the end of that chapter, he gathered up his feet into the bed and gave up the ghost, and he was gathered unto his people. Those that had gone before him and entered into rest. Those who by the grace of God he had been a follower of. Are we followers of them? When we die, we will go to our people. Who are our people? Can you say, I'm a companion of them that fear thee, fear the Lord? Thou shalt rest. Oh, the blessedness of this. The rest that remaineth. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. Oh, the rest of seeing the bridegroom face to face. She stands upon his merit. Thou shalt stand in thy law at the end of the days. Daniel's lot was to be in Christ. By the lot is not set forth any chance. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. No man has had anything to do with your lot. Or perhaps there is one here this evening and you think that it is some man that has brought all these things upon you. That is this man and that man. You're blaming this person and that person for the various things in your life. But it's God that appoints your lot. Thou shalt stand in thy law, chosen of God, loved of God, redeemed by Christ, justified freely by his grace, sanctified by the Spirit. That is Daniel's lot. It's the only place a sinner can stand. I stand upon his merit, says Rutherford. That's Daniel's stand. I know no other stand, no, not e'en in glory, in Emmanuel's land, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days, to stand faultless before Almighty God, washed to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Go thou thy way, Daniel. You see, the Lord told Daniel what his lot was, and it wasn't going to change. There's no peradventure of Daniel sinking to hell. There's no peradventure of Daniel not get into heaven. There's no peradventure of Daniel falling away. The Lord had made clear to Daniel what his lot was. Those many, many things. And child of God, aren't there a few things that the Lord has done for you that has made known what your lot is? Thou givest me the lot of those that fear thy name, if endless bliss be their reward. I shall possess the same? Has it been your lot to be called by his invincible grace? Have your heart changed? Turn from sin? Has it been your lot to know the Lord Jesus Christ as he's made himself known? Has it been your lot for him to say to you, O man greatly beloved, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee? What does Paul say? Let us continue in the thing Whereto we have already attained, let us mind the same things. Let us walk by the same rule. Go thou thy way, the sure way, the safe way. Has it been your lot to shut, for God to shut the lion's mouth? For God to hear your cry, and that grace is given you by which you chose him in preference to anything else, them that honour me, I will honour. Thou shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Just one last thought. Though, of course, we shall desire the salvation of our dear ones according to the Lord's holy will. We shall desire the salvation of the whole election of grace. But really, my dear friend, the most important thing for all of us is this, concerning all that will happen yet in time. Where shall I be? And the Lord here speaks to Daniel. This is how he tells Daniel he must go on now from this prophecy he's given him. One thing is needful. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Go thy way, till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And as Mr. Jabez Wright is unable to be with us on Tuesday, Mr. Stephen Rosier is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149.
thee for thy word and pray thy blessing on it. Keep it in our hearts. Lord, bless thy word to thy people. Pardon all amiss. Do keep us safe now as we separate. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.